Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1? If you've been with us in recent weeks, you know we're in a series of talks about some of the lesser knowns of the Bible, some of those who fill in the gaps between the King Davids and Moseses and all those others. Well, I want to talk about Joseph. Oh, is he a lesser known? Well, we all know him as the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But really, we have very little information about Joseph, and I would like to take us there this morning. And we have four scenes that we get to know Joseph in. The first is before the baby Jesus was born. The second is at the birth of Jesus. And the third is about a year after Jesus was born, when the Magi or the wise men arrived from the east. And then the fourth scene is maybe a year or two, not sure exactly how long after that, when Jesus would have been running around like some of ours this morning. Beautiful. Then Joseph fades from view. We're told that he was still alive when Jesus was 12, when he was left behind in Jerusalem. But Joseph didn't say anything, only Mary, according to what is written for us. And then he fades completely from view, and we never hear of him again. Did he die? Maybe so. So four scenes. We're going to travel quickly through those. Let's begin with Matthew 1, and I'd like to pray first. Lord Jesus, we're reading the story about you and your birth, and in particular, how Joseph related to you and your arrival. And I ask that you would open our eyes and our hearts this morning to hear what you would have us to hear. And I give you full liberty to bypass me in any way that you want necessary for the purpose of letting us hear from you. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we're in Matthew 1 and down at verse 18. It starts this way. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. Now, there's four more words, but I'm not reading those words because Joseph didn't know those words. All he knew is that the one he loved, the one who was betrothed to him, promised to him, was with child. And he knew that child wasn't his. Can you enter into the crushing realization of the fact of the one you love's infidelity before you've even come to marriage? We know that that child, as the rest of 18 continues, she was with child by the Holy Spirit. Joseph didn't know that. And it continues, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to divorce her privately instead of hauling her out and making a spectacle of her. But when he had considered this, verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David. Now, David was not his father, so that's an interesting way to address Joseph. He was going back hundreds of years to King David. Joseph, son of David. Now, if an angel doesn't get your attention, then when he says things like that, that gets your attention. Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Really? Don't be afraid to take somebody who's already been unfaithful to me to be my wife? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that changes everything. And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Hundreds of years earlier, behold, the virgin shall be with child and will bear a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Next words are key. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife and kept her as a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Could you slip into Joseph's sandals for a moment and think? You woke up from the dream. This was an angel. Was that real? That was real. The angel said I should go ahead and marry this Mary. And all the things that have been going through your mind in the last number of days, you remember Mary had gone away for a season to visit a relative, and when she comes back, she's with child. And not only do you notice, everybody else notices. And you are to take her now as your wife. And what are you thinking about laying there on your pillow after you woke up from that night of sleep? Everybody's going to know, right, that you and Mary. So your reputation is at stake here, right? But the angel said, and so we read those words, and Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took her as his wife. That deliberation that I just talked to you about, I think was real, but it didn't last long because he got up, took her as his wife. Did as the angel commanded him. What stands out to you? What stands out to me is the word obedience. Obedience. Yes, that's going to be the whisperings and the rumors and all of the rest, but I was commanded, and so he did it. Everyone's assumptions. Was it going to be easy? Was his reputation tarnished? Yeah, for sure. But the word that stands out to me is obedience. Hang on to that word. Scene 2. Skip over to Luke 2, which we've heard and read already this morning. Luke 2. Hold your finger in Matthew because we're going to come back there. But Luke 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Or as one version says, that all the earth be taxed. Like I wrote this week, has anything changed? Taxation. This was the first census. Everybody was proceeding to register. Joseph went from Galilee, about 80 miles south from Nazareth, to Bethlehem. That's where he is from because of his father David. Came about verse 6, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. She gave birth to a firstborn son, wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger, a feeding trough, maybe something like this. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. So they had the birth in the place where the animals are kept. Now, last week we talked with Jerry about the instance of the shepherds out there and the angels arriving. So I'm going to skip that because we did a good job with that last week. And go down to 16. We'll catch the shepherds as they arrive in Bethlehem. They came in haste, hurried, and found their way to Mary and Joseph in Bethlehem and the baby as he lay in the feeding trough. And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, all the things the angels had said. And all who heard it wondered about the things which were told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Verse 21. And when 8 days were completed before his circumcision, his name was then called Jesus, just as the angel had told them, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. 8 days, the naming and the circumcision. Verse 22, and when the days for their purification according to the law of Moses were completed, what does that mean? Well, you know, you may remember back to the law of Moses was that after a woman gave birth to a child, there was a period of time when she was ceremonially unclean. And at the end of 40 days, she was to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And here again, it's a ceremonial cleansing. Lots of meaning there. We're not going to go there just now, but that's what was happening. And so this, verse 22, is 40 days after Jesus was born. He's been named and circumcised at day 8. Now he's being brought, what does it say? When the days were completed, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to what? Present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And what else are they doing there? To offer a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So what's going on? The circumcision and the naming. And now they are offering a sacrifice for Mary's ceremonial uncleanness. But is there anything unusual about that? No. Every boy in Israel received a name and was circumcised. And if they were obedient to the law, they would offer a sacrifice. In this case, they were poor. They didn't offer a lamb, which was what more well-heeled people. They offered the two turtle doves or pigeons. Nothing unusual about that. But tucked into 22, there is something. They brought him up to Jerusalem. What's in Jerusalem? The temple. And the next thing, to present him to the Lord. Both of those things are different from what every other boy was required to have done for him. Brought him to the temple in Jerusalem. And if we had kept reading, you would know that's where Simeon found them and Anna in the temple. We're not going there, but they are in the temple. And it says to present him to the Lord. So the first thing that stands out in the circumcision and the obedience and the 8 days and the 40 days, what stands out there to me is again the word obedience. But I'd like to add another word to the obedience. And I would say it's careful obedience. Careful obedience. 8 days, what did God decree? Yes. 40 days, what did God decree? We're doing it. Naming him? Well, the angel said Jesus. That's his name. So it's not just obedience, careful obedience. But then this temple thing and the presenting him to the Lord, that's above and beyond. So what stands out to me there is just glad obedience, you know, grateful, glad obedience, shocked, amazed, awe. They've bought in completely to what has gone on. Then why not? Listen, can you imagine if you were Joseph and Mary? You're laying awake at night and you're thinking about all the things that have been going on. Let's think about them. They each had an angel talking to them. When's the last time that happened to you? That'd be enough, right? But more than the angel, then, you know, Elizabeth, her relative, starts off on blessing and the baby in her womb leaps and says, wow, you know, these things. And Mary herself comes up with a song just out of nowhere. And then, you know, all of these other peoples, the shepherds, angels, you know, is this enough? His name's going to be great, they said. He'll have a throne. It'll never end. Whoa, this is not your average kid, is it? He's going to reign forever. And what kid do you name save his people from their sins? This is this. And so, not only are they obedient, not only they're careful obedient, I think they went beyond obedience to total ownership and buying into this thing. And they said, this child. And they did in the spirit of Hannah with Samuel, remember? And they brought him and he presented him to the Lord. And they did it at the temple. How far was Bethlehem to Jerusalem? 5 miles. That's not the end of the world, but that was a 5-mile walk they decided we're taking because this child. We're going to make the sacrifice of the two turtle doves or pigeons, but we're going to do it in Jerusalem at the temple. And we're going to present him to the Lord. Obedience, careful obedience, and glad obedience, maybe. Maybe there's a better word for that. What's that like? This is like your 16-year-old son. Son, I need you to mow the lawn. Son goes out and obeys and mows the lawn. Thank you, son. But while son is mowing the lawn, son sees the hedges need trimming. And son says, you know, I'm going to do the hedges too. Not because I was told to, but because I want the yard to look nice. You know, it's the next step past. It's no duty. There's no obligation. I'm entering into this thing. And I think Joseph was seeding this. Let's do this. And Mary, of course, entered right in. Scene 3. We keep going back in Matthew now. Matthew, scene 3, chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi, or wise men, from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, where is he who is born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, since when do grown dignitaries worship a baby? Honor, maybe? Revere? Give presents? I can see that. But worship? That's what they said. Now you know why the next verse says, "And Herod and all Jerusalem, when they heard this, were troubled." Now, Herod especially, because he was the king. Oh, really? A king has been born? Well, gathering all the chief priests and scribes, he began to inquire of them, "Where's the Christ going to be born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet." Well, verse 7, Herod secretly called the Magi back, and he ascertained from them, "Hey, fellas, when did that star appear?" Thank you. And then he says, "Listen, go and make careful search for that child, and when you've found him, come tell me so I can come and worship him too." Yeah. More politics, more lying. Has anything else changed? Okay. Well, having heard the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which they'd seen in the east went on before them, and it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Don't you love how they stack those on top? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. I guess they were excited. And they came into the house, and they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Then, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their own country by another way. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." Does that give chills to you? What if that was your child? What would you do? What did he do? "And he arose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." Do you think it was the same night? If that was your child, would you do it the same night? And Joseph, I think, it's a very good indication that he did that night. Come on. Come on, Mary. Get the boy. And if we think it's accurate that he was about a year old when the Magi came, you know, we're not sure exactly how old, but they got him and they maybe got that donkey out of there and said, "Come on, boy. I know it's been a short night, but we're going, you know." And off they went to Egypt. It's dark. Nobody sees him leave. Maybe hears a little bit. We don't know. Everybody else is sleeping. What stands out to you about that? "He rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, 'Out of Egypt did I call my son.' And as soon as Herod saw what he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all its environs." From how old? From 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. When did y'all see that star appear? Thank you. And so we'll be safe, and we'll go up to 2 years. That's why we think it's somewhat less, maybe about a year. He said, "I'll get a year's security and make sure we kill him." Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more." What stands out to you about Joseph in this incident? Again, the angel speaks to him. It's nighttime. You're sleeping. You're warm. You're cuddly. Your wife's next to you. Life is great. And the angel says, "Get up. Arise and flee to Egypt, because Herod's going to search for the child to destroy him." And what does he do? Well, the word obedience comes to me again. But it says he went by night. And I think there's very good evidence that he went that night. So I would have to add the word immediate to obedience. Immediate obedience. Obedience, careful obedience, glad obedience, and immediate obedience. When we were raising our children, we had that phrase with our kids, first time obedience. That's what counts. Why? Because when they argue and push back on you and you have to say it 12 different ways and 12 different, is that really obedience? No. So we said first time. Maybe we got it from Joseph. Immediate obedience. Scene 4. Write the next verse. When Herod was dead, verse 19. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. I guess he's getting on a first name basis with this angel, isn't he? An angel appeared to him and says, arise or get up. And why do I have to get up again? Why do you come at night? Why? And take the child and his mother and go back into the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And what did he do? He arose and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he got there, he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, and he was afraid to go there. Oh, another dream. And being warned by God in a dream, he departed for the regions of Galilee, and he came and resided in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. And that's, of course, how he was born in Bethlehem. His parents were in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem, then he went to Egypt, and now he's back in Nazareth. Because it was confusing to people later on, but that's the story. But here again, the angel comes to him twice as a return from Egypt. Well, obedience is the word that stands out to me again, but there's a word that goes with it. And I would suggest to you it's the word continual or continued obedience. Yep, obedience is becoming a pattern that we see in Joseph, isn't it? The angel speaks, he does. The angel speaks, he does. The angel, get up, he gets up. The angel says, go now, he goes now. Don't go there, I don't go there. Go there, I go there. Continued obedience. I'd like to say something. See if you think this is an accurate statement. Greatness is tied to obedience. If you want to be a person of greatness in God's eyes, then be a person of obedience. Like Joseph, obedient, carefully obedient, immediately obedient, gladly obedient, continually obedient. All kinds of shades, right, of obedience. But it's obedience the same. It's faithfulness, right, to what God says. And Joseph, who better to teach us than the man who had to, think about it now. You're about to get married. Beautiful girl. The girl of your dreams. What else have you dreamt about? Oh, the little house on the corner with the oak tree and the split picket fence and the front porch with the rocking chairs and the golden retriever. That's how, you know, I would do it in America. But you would have dreams, and is it highly likely that Joseph did? Oh, yeah, we're going to build the business. Yeah, carry on the tradition of my dad. You know, he's getting good at his skills. I finally got a place I can provide for her. Let's get married. All of those dreams, all those aspirations and goals, where are they now? Well, they had to be laid aside, didn't they? Because the angel said, do this and go here and do it now and don't do it. Wait, it's at nighttime. Obedience. Obedience is tied to greatness. If you want to be great in God's sight, then become a person of obedience. Well, I haven't had any angels talk to me lately, have you? Any angels from heaven? No, but you know, we have the word from heaven right here. How does the word from heaven speak to us? Well, unfortunately, it says an awful lot about how we live and says some uncomfortable things and says, this has got to go and this has got to change and this has got to be more of and this has got to be less of and a whole lot of other things, right? How's the obedience? Oh, is it immediate obedience? Is it careful obedience? He said, do it this way. He said, respect your husband, love your wife. He said lots of things about anger. He said some things about forgiveness and a whole lot of other things, right? Is it careful obedience? Is it continued obedience? Wait a minute. When it gets hard, when it's difficult, when people are jeering at you, when your reputation has suffered, continued obedience? Careful obedience? The scripture says it this way in another place. The eyes of the Lord run back and forth across the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His. And when he finds a person whose heart is like that, completely his, that's another way of saying obedient, isn't it? When he finds a person like that, whose heart is completely his, what does he do? This is what he does. He weaves that person's life into convergence with his eternal sovereign plan, so that together God and that person who is obedient can shape not only history but eternity. And is that what he did with Joseph? Joseph was obedient up and down, up one side and down the other. That was what marked him, as we've seen this morning. And what did God do with Joseph's life? He brought his life into convergence with what God was doing. An incredible thing that we still are amazed at today. That's why we're here today, right? And he made his life converge with God's sovereign eternal plan to shape not only history, but eternity. But get this, it's all tied to obedience. Obedience. Now, you and I obviously are not going to be the husband of Mary because she already had one. But you and I may be visible, maybe not visible, but that's never been a problem to God. He still regards greatness by obedience. Whether we're known, whether we're not known, whether we're famous, whether we're not famous, we're famous in God's eyes when we're obedient. When we're careful in our obedience, when we're immediate in our obedience, and when we're continuing in our obedience. Can you say those four with me? Obedience, careful obedience, immediate obedience, continued obedience. Lord, we stand in need of much more than just Joseph's example. We need your enablement to be obedient to you. Obedient in our belief, first of all. We believe in the Son of God, and we commit our lives to him. But then there's the obedience of walking in ways that please you, Father in heaven, walking according to your directives in your word. I need help. I have a real sense that everybody in here needs help in our obedience. Would you help us so that we can please your heart and so that you can do through us and with us things that will shape not only history, but eternity. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for Joseph and how you honored Joseph by letting him be the caretaker of your son, Jesus. Amen.